Mr. Lake. We'd like to welcome Robin Griffin back today, by the way. She has been very sick, and we are graced with her presence today. I don't know why I was reminded to do that now.
She's been to Cancun.
Is that where she's been?
Been Cancun.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
She went away.
Talking about you.
Said you were in Hawaii.
Yeah, I really look like it. That my wish.
Welcome back.
Morning, Lawrence.
Morning.
What you got?
We have four ordinances to bring forth just for the purpose of discussion. On March 9th, you received a memo from Vince Robertson, attorney on behalf of the Planning and Zoning Commission, suggesting some ordinances relating to conditional use, preliminary approval time extensions or time limits, subdivision preliminary approval time limits, street design standards, and three lot subdivisions. Based on the agenda, the first one would be the conditional use preliminary approval. The purpose of this is that, and I'm just going to read this synopsis. The council acknowledges that it's difficult to obtain all necessary state and local agency approvals for an approved conditional use within 1 year, as previously required, and then subject to two possible time extensions. Commission has talked about it for several years, and council even discussed it on occasion, that we change it from a one-year approval to a three-year approval so that the applicant gets approval and they have 3 years to obtain final approval and be substantially under construction. And that the only change in the text of the ordinance would be to delete 1 year and add twice and to add 3 years twice. And it's really housekeeping. What happens now is that the commission on every meeting agenda for a special meeting has one or two conditional uses. They have to have time extensions. And they have to do it to get approval for a year. You have to get a time extension. You can ask for a second.
And the time extensions are typically caused by the applicants not moving along or the agency?
It's a combination. When you get into the second year, it seems like it's more the applicant.
Right.
The first year, it could be that it could be agency applicant coordination because getting the plans prepared to comply with the regulations of all the agencies and submitting them, there is some time lag. I would say the second one is more in the hands of the applicant. So we feel that if you get approval and you change it from 1 year to three, they should have everything in their possession and have final approval and be substantially underway within 3 years. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, it's void. They have to reapply.
So it's currently 1 year plus two time extensions. Is that correct?
Right, that's what's allowed now.
So that would be 1, 2, 3 years.
That's the same number, but it takes out the need for time extensions.
Just give them the 3 years.
Period. And if they're not substantially underway, then it's void.
And no time extensions?
No, it's just 3 years, period.
Oh, okay.
Now, and this would save time at planning and zoning hearings and staff time for preparation.
Our paperwork burdens all it is. It's just paperwork. And it's just a matter of going back to the commission like I told you a few weeks ago, we had. Since then, there's probably been 160 since January 1st of 06 that we've done time extension. Okay. Admittedly, the same projects on occasions, because some of them are working on their third extension.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. At the end of this, if we change this to 3 years, at the end of 3 years, can they start asking for extensions? Do we have wording in here say there are no... Huh?
No extension quality.
No extension. Okay.
They have to be substantially underway.
Okay. Now, do we have a definition of substantially underway?
We do.
There is in the code.
There is not in the code, right?
No.
But we have something that we follow because I go by one on the way home every day, and I see where they just carved out roads, and there's just nothing but a pile of weeds there right now. And a big pile of dirt everybody's looking at.
It talks about the subdivision code, for example. The roadway's been rough graded, drainage systems in, stormwater management's in, erosion sedimentation control measures are in place.
Well, if you ride by this one I'm looking at nowadays every day, right there on Cedar Neck Road, and they had a couple extensions, you know, the one up to Derrickson, was it Derrickson? Who was the family? Mike, who?
Cross from Hunkers?
Yeah. Who is that?
Next to the reservation.
That was the one that had the family, you know, somebody died. And
right.
Now, that place is just got a big pile of dirt. They carved out some roads, and I guess they made some swales and stuff for, like, stormwater. And there it sits overgrown. How long do we now? That's okay then, to just sit there, right?
I'd have to go back and pull the records and see.
But I'm saying under what he just said, they did carve out some roads. They've done some stormwater. And what else?
Well, you could have everything carved out. You could have your stormwater in place. You could have your erosion sediment control in place so that erosion's not happening. But, it still could grow up. I mean, it can grow up.
Well, it's starting to look like.
The question is, are you adding a maintenance requirement to it above and beyond just doing that standard set of work? That project you're referring to could have done everything they were supposed to as far as, grading the roads and putting in the proper stormwater management, erosion, and sediment control. But if they don't come back and cut the grass, is that a problem for you?
Well, I don't know. I'm just wondering, I mean, is the definition strong enough? I mean, because that looks like just the minimal amount. Now, that is all of a sudden keeps that zoning valid because they've done that little bit. Right? And it goes on, it can go on for 10 years. It's already been, I don't know, a couple, 3 years now. So how many years do the residents and neighbors that live there have to put up with this huge amount of dirt and just nothing happening?
That project you're talking about was a time extension granted by council?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah, because the commission had taken its limit of 3. That was a conditional use application.
Right. But my question, we're talking about time extensions and substantial work. I don't know if the definition we have is strong enough to do anything to really safeguard.
Well, we can look at that on both.
Mr. Robinson,
amend the ordinance.
Can you come forward? Is this ordinance as it's written the place to address Mr. Cole's concern, or would that be a separate ordinance?
That would be a separate ordinance.
Okay.
This just deals with, as we said, the need to have applicants keep coming back.
Right.
For the extensions.
No, there's actually no ordinance. My concern is there isn't, you just said there isn't any definition anywhere in the ordinance.
Well, there is a subdivision ordinance, which,
there is a definition.
We would need a separate.
And that applies to all?
Well, it
doesn't
talks
apply
about
to conditional uses.
Yeah, it's a different term that's in conditional uses, but I think you could certainly interpret it to give some basis to what it talks about in that section that Lawrence just read, but it's probably something that needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lawrence, what's the next one?
The second one on the agenda would be subdivision preliminary approval time extension. Basically the same reasoning as discussed. This amendment would confirm the authority of the commission on subdivision applications consistently with a recent court decision of Ashburn versus Kent County.
Mm-hmm.
It inserts language with slight revision for consistency directly from the court decision into section 99-9A. It allows for the extension of period of validity from a preliminary approval for 1 year to 3 years, recognizing that the fact that it is difficult again to obtain necessary permits, as we stated earlier. And finally, it modifies section 99-9C to make the introductory, sentence more consistent with the wording of the cluster ordinance in section 115.25 of the zoning code.
Right.
And if you go through the ordinance, it's about 3 pages. There's some underlining and some bracketing. We basically make reference to the criteria that the Ashburn case pointed out that we needed to address. And then we changed it from 12 months to 36 months.
Now, this is an area that in the past the 17 provisions were required to be considered. There has been some discussion about looking at those 17 provisions to determine if specific criteria could be developed so that there is predictability in the process. I know it's something Mr. Cole has brought up in the past. It has not been addressed in this ordinance. So before the introduction of this ordinance, it may be something we want to consider because it would kind of work into conformity of of the code. What's the next one, Mr. Lang?
The next one is the street design standards. A few months ago, or late 08, the council adopted street design standard as recommended by the county engineering department. And some of those street design standards conflict with the section 99 of our code, subdivision regulations, and our attempt is to be consistent and refer to the same plans, and thereby we would basically take out the need for a cross-section to be on a site plan, because they don't always agree anyway, and to establish that the ordinance requires the standards established by the engineering department and approved by council in effect at the time of the application for the commission to the commission for approval of development. And most of the pages of text you'll see, the second two pages are basically bracketed out. You delete those sections from the 99, chapter 99 of the subdivision regulation. And then you take out the cross section that's imposed on drawings. One example of that I've seen, there's a project on Route 1, it's called Zacharias Cove. Well, because of their location and the closeness to wetlands, their street was elevated bulkheading on one side, and it drains more to one side to a swale rather than have swales on both sides. And the cross-section on the drawing shows swale on both sides. And a buyer could go in and say, well, my street's not built like this. And this way, we go by the standards that are current with county engineering, and it would eliminate that problem.
Can I ask the county engineer, is this part of the findings of the committee you put together?
That's correct. It has, the important thing to note is that Lawrence mentioned even some of the roads.
Yes, we adopted standards that went into effect on January 1, and there are, for example, there is a standard cross section that's contained in the county code, and that standard cross section has not been observed for many years because in some cases there's nice boulevards where you can build two individual lanes, one ingress, one egress, and you have a planted island in the middle. Well, that's a violation of the county code in reality because this standard cross section only allows for a pavement, one pavement section 20 feet wide, no other options. And that's been in the county code since 1980.
82.
But we just don't build roads that way anymore. So in effect, this change will correct that situation, but also it will support the road standards that were adopted by the committee to go into effect January 1. So it solves two problems.
All right. Thank you.
The last ordinance is a suggestion of the Planning and Zoning Commission. It would allow, under certain limited conditions, the Planning and Zoning Director for the county to approve the recordation subdivision of three or fewer lots. It further defines those conditions while still allowing minor subdivisions and the division of agricultural lands. And the fee schedule is also proposed to be revised. The fee schedule portion, we need to still need to dig into that because I think we've already changed it.
Right.
That could be deleted. But I want to double check the wording because it doesn't reference specifically for a fee for a minor. The three lots that would be proposed would be but we'd have to come up with a method whereby we would advertise, send notices to the residents within a certain dimension from the site and ask if they would object or if they would desire a public hearing. And if they desired a public hearing or if staff desired or the commission desired, we would hold a public hearing.
Right.
Otherwise, if no one objected, then we would proceed with a staff review of the design of the project. And it could still be referred to the commission for approval.
Understood. Are there any other questions from council? If not, I expect at least a couple of these will be offered for introduction very shortly. Others that may have some remaining issues could be discussed at a meeting, I believe, that Mr. Baker is organizing between the council and planning and zoning. Have we a date on that yet, Mr. Baker?
Yes, we're tentatively scheduling that for April 9th.
Okay. Thank you.
And if the council would like, we can look into a little research on the substantial improvements and see if there's a need for updating that and make sure to.
Okay, and I'd like to thank Mr. Vincent for kind of kicking off this dialogue between the council and planning and zoning at one of the early meetings of this year. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Lawrence, I think you might want to stick around, won't you?
Yep.